Shabbat Shalom. I'm so blessed to see y'all here. And as our custom, how y'all doing? Good. I see at least half people doing good. So today is very interesting Torah portion, and I would like to go in. I would like to ask to open with me the Leviticus chapter 25. And we'll take a close look at this chapter. But before, I would like to say a few words about it. Today's Torah portion is a very interesting Torah portion, and the main topic in this Torah portion is the year of Jubilee. Let's say together, year of Jubilee. The Lord commanded the Jewish people that every 50th year was a special year of Jubilee. A year when agricultural work was stopped in Israel and land was not plowed and sown so that the soil could be restored for a whole year, long Shabbat. Can you imagine? Every 50th year vacation. That's great. This entire year was quite special as it was a time of the restoration. For a whole year. A time to bring everything back into God's order according to His commandments. And one of the most important mitzvot on that year that the Lord gave to Moses is that this year was declared the year of forgiveness for all debts and all debtors. It was a time when all Jewish people, when all Jewish slaves were to be made free again. Once a 50th year, every person, every Jew in Israel were to be free, released. But in addition to freedom from slavery, all land was to be returned to those who had to sell their inheritance in order to pay their debts. Can you imagine this beautiful picture? It was an extraordinary time of new beginnings, a new start, giving equal opportunity to every Jew who lived in the land of Israel. It's the beautiful picture from the Lord for all of us. And I believe it was at the same time joyful time because every slave was to release from slavery and it was joy and happiness. And from another place, another side, how about people who had slaves? And they should release them. So it was the very deep time of forgiveness or reconciliation. It was very deep time. Imagine a society in which the Lord established such loyal and perfect laws. It was only one place in whole world. Israel, the land of Israel. Such important lessons to be learned from the year of Jubilee, and I would like to share a few lessons from this year. First of all, for every Jew, the value of love, mercy, and forgiveness for each other. This was the time to learn how to love. Not only idea about love, but practically how to love people around you, how to forgive. How to be merciful. This was whole year about it. For every person living on the earth, that the Lord is the only true God and that all the earth belongs to Him. And the most important, that Israel is His land, which He gave as a possession to the Jewish people. It's His belonging. And we know that today so many different opinions about whose land it is. But the year of Jubilee, that's a clear sign for everyone. This is His land. And He is giving His land to whom He wants to give. That explains why when the Jewish people turned away from the Lord and began to serve foreign gods, the often punishment they received from the Lord was the loss of the right to stay in the land. This is why, because it's his land. He gave it to the Jewish people, to our nation. The year of Jubilee also has an extremely important prophetic significance as it points towards the coming kingdom of the Messiah, the time when all will again be made right, the time when all those living on the earth will be freed from the slavery of sin. So it is prophetic time about coming Messiah. And I would like to read Luke chapter 4 from the verse 17. It's a beautiful place of scripture. And I would like even a little bit earlier from the verse 16. And this is actually an answer for many of us who like to be in Messianic movement. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised, as was his custom. He went into the synagogue on Shabbat. So this is the answer, what kind of church he attended. Synagogue. And he got up to read. When the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Ruach Adonai is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor." This is the which is year of Jubilee, is the same. He closed the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue were focused on him when he began to tell them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." Let's say together, "has been fulfilled." 2,000 years ago already. So how does it apply to our spiritual lives today? What happened 2,000 years ago? How to apply it today? So according to the plan of the Lord, Israel was to be the kingdom of the Lord. And if you know that when Jewish people decided to choose the king among themselves, it was not pleasant to the Lord. It was against his will, because he was to be the only king in Israel. It was his plan, it was his dream, it was his idea. And the year of Jubilee was to illustrate what will happen in the future when Messiah will come. This was the prophetic picture of forgiveness, of freedom from the slavery. And in the same way, the Lord has given us his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And this is my opinion I would like to share with you. But if you think that the kingdom of heaven has not yet come, partially it's true because we are awaiting for the kingdom of God. But it's not quite so. One of the main messages of Yeshua was that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. I like the Matthew chapter 4:17. Please check me, because if you will have a question after the service, I will be glad to see. Do you read with me? Do you know what's here? So Matthew 4:17. And remember, it's 2,000 years ago. "From then on, Yeshua began to proclaim, 'Turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Let's say together, "is near." And although we still live on this earth, the kingdom of our God is already within us today on this earth. What is the day today? Can you help me? Shabbat, yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for this good answer. The kingdom of God is already within us, which is why it is said that we are not of this world. In 1 Peter, the verse, chapter 2, the verse 9, one of my favorite places. "But you are a chosen people." Mazel tov, you are the chosen people. a royal priesthood. This is the new idea in the scripture. Before it was royal and priesthood, but now in the Messiah, you call the royal priesthood. A holy nation, a people of God's own, for God's own possession. Not from this world, not of this world, but of His kingdom. We are ambassadors of the great King who has called us to live according to the laws and commandments of our Master. And therefore, it is written in scriptures that the kingdom of God is within us. And if you don't have any reason to be joyful, I believe this is the one. Because the kingdom of God is within you. You will never find anything else like that. Never, nowhere. The Lord is within you, in His Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. I know that it's hard to believe, but it's true. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking and getting satisfied, but righteousness and shalom and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the new reality, in the new kingdom, kingdom of God, today, for you, for me, for us. He said, then two or three are together, I'm with you. This is not just community of somebody who's coming together on Shabbat. This is a place where the Holy Spirit is present right now, in this moment, in His power. So better to be open before Him, to tuned on Him. For this reason, immersion in the Holy Spirit is the test of a new kingdom. That's why when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they experienced the new kingdom of heaven. They were empowered by the Lord. They were ambassadors of the Lord in this earth. So let's analyze one of these important lessons which the year of Jubilee has for us. And I would like to read Leviticus 25. Thank you for opening it already from the beginning. Verse 10. From the verse 10. You are to make the 50th year holy. So holy, it means for the Lord, separated for the Lord. And proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It is to be a jubilee to you. Then each of you is to return to his own property, and each of you is to return to his family. So what's the lesson here? The main commandment of this year is to forgive and release all debtors and restore them to their inheritance. This was the main idea of this year. And, you know, when I read it, when I think of this commandment, it reminds me of the best-known prayer on globe. You know, the most known prayer on globe. Our Father, who is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer. And from the verse 12, Matthew 6, I would like to read it because this is great parallel with the year of Jubilee. From the verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And years ago I prayed, Lord, test me, check me. I'm too old for it. No anymore. I'm praying, don't lead me into temptation. But deliver me from evil. Actually, it's here. Is it here? Maybe it will help somebody to stop praying, Lord, punish me or do something. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. I don't know how about you, but in my opinion, this is a very serious statement in here. Forgiveness of our sins depends on our forgiveness of others. Because if you don't forgive, the Lord is not forgiving you. And I know that many books and various articles have been written on this topic, and I understand that it is very difficult to teach how to forgive. It's easier to preach, but it's very hard to teach. Because each case and each life is very different from others. But I want to share with you some of my basic thoughts about this idea, about this theme. So it's my idea. So first of all, the basis for our discussion. Sometimes it is difficult for people to forgive because they have a wrong idea about what forgiveness is. It's hard to forgive if you don't understand how to forgive. And I like the quote from C.S. Lewis. He said, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." What do you think? I don't know. Maybe for somebody it's easy. But I don't think so. So let me give you some ideas of what forgiveness is not. Firstly, to forgive is not to ignore an insult or an injustice against you. Sometimes it seems to some people that to forgive means pretend that nothing terrible has happened. Nothing happened. Not big deal. To pretend that nothing happened is the same as hiding a head in the sand. I don't think it helps a lot. What do you think? At least it can help your head, but your body is out. It is very important to realize the reality of what happened, and actually what's happening around you. We need to have a clear mind. That somebody sinned against you, you were hurt and were treated unfairly. But even after this realization, you are still to forgive. This is a beauty of forgiveness. This is a power of forgiveness. When you know this is wrong, but your decision is to forgive. You have rights to forgive. Secondly, to forgive is not to believe that the one who sinned against you no longer deserves punishment. This is the hard point, but you will get there. Why? Because when we see evil deeds, our hearts demand justice. Something wrong there. You can feel it. Your heart is against this injustice. And this feeling reminds us that God loves the truth and hates lawlessness. He is against these things. And this is my statement and scriptural. No unrepentant sin in this world will escape punishment. No unrepentant sin. And I like this. The rabbi Shaul does not say, "Neither take your own revenge because the villains do not deserve punishment." You will not find in scripture. The Romans 12:19 said to us, "Never take your own revenge, loved ones, but give room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says Adonai." It's very important to understand seriousness of sin. If you never experience any really serious wrongs against you, sometimes it is difficult to understand those who have. And it is easy to judge people around you. This is why we need to understand seriousness of sin and have mercy towards people around you. You know. Okay, I don't want to ask questions here because it's danger place to ask questions. But I remember my own experience when I thought it's forgive, it's easy until some point when I felt what does it mean to forgive. Thirdly, forgiveness does not mean that you now feel good towards the abuser. I don't think so. You need to feel good about the person who abused you. If we are injured, we might experience pain. And this is normal for all of us. Actually, I believe that soul could be hurt even more than body. And if you have problems with your body, what do you think? Is it normal if it's hurtful for some times? What do you think? You can comment, stop hurting, but sometimes it takes time to be healed. Very often people fall, and we'll explain why I'm speaking about this, because I would like to bring freedom from self-condemnation, from the trap of enemy for all of us. Because very often people fell into enemy's trap because they misunderstand what forgiveness is. And it seems to them that if they experience pain and hurt inside of their hearts, they have not yet forgiven the one who caused the pain. And this is a trap for many good believers. If you feel pain, it doesn't mean the Lord is angry at you, or He hates you, or He doesn't forgive you. Sometimes it takes years to come through healing of your soul. And this is normal. And I will give you a hard example. And it's very hard to disagree with this example, because I have served people who went through the darkness of the Holocaust, who believe in Yeshua, who are believers of Yeshua, for whom forgiveness is one of the most difficult issues they must deal with. It's not easy. What could you say to these people? What could you tell them? I have talked to the people who, with tears in their eyes, sincere believers, told me that they are not able to forgive and they feel like the Lord is angry at them and does not love them and does not forgive them. Why? Because they still feel in this kind of pain and bad experience in their life. But let's remember, let's understand that forgiveness is an inner decision of our will, our spirit. To forgive means to refuse vengeance, to wish that the one who sinned against you will repent of his sin and be saved. Let's say together, forgiveness is decision. And sometimes you should decide even if you don't feel it. And feelings will be healed in the time. The Lord will heal your feelings. But everything starts with your decision. Let's say together, decision. Decision. That's so important. Often, after a decision is made to forgive, person may continue to experience inner pain and difficult feelings towards the forgiven one. And sometimes it takes time to be healed. But emotions and feelings do not affect our forgiveness and our decision to release the person. This is the commandment from the Lord and privilege to release others, to forgive them. I have very, a kind of funny example in the scriptures. Fun example. Let's open 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I mean, it's hard to disagree with Apostle Paul. Very hard. Possible, but difficult. And please remember, okay, I have a question. Who has the 2 Timothy in your Bible? Be careful, it's dangerous. Your witnesses. And now think about this verse, verse number 14. Why is it here? Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Now millions, billions of believers, everyone knows who is the Alexander. And not just Alexander, but this one, coppersmith. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Come on, Paul, you need to forgive. What's happened with you? But please understand his heart. It was not about revenge. It was different. Apparently, the rabbi Shaul does not have particularly warm feelings towards Alexander. He does not say, hug him for me, kiss him. He's so good. He beat me so many times. I love him. He's my best friend. Come to him. He will beat you too. You will love him so much. Let's have fun. And you know, this is kind of mentality. This is slavery inside of us. Because people sometimes forcing themselves to be beaten by somebody again and again. Because they have wrong approach about forgiveness. This is not a club to be beaten or, you know, have fun. It's happening, but Apostle Paul, he refuses to take revenge on him, awaiting in the judgment from God. So he forgave Alexander. He released him into the hands of the Lord. He lived in freedom, but he remembered his name because something wrong was there. Something wrong here. Fourth, and I know it's hard, but it's true. I believe it's my opinion. To forgive is not necessary, and I don't want to excuse everyone who don't like to do that, but it's not necessary restoration of relationships. Not necessary. Often, most of the times, but not necessary. Often, it means to release the offender from your own heart. And I like the year of Jubilee. It doesn't matter how you feel. This is the commandments from the Lord. To release people. To release them into freedom. If you are a victim of evildoers, you must forgive them. Let's say must forgive them. You have no options. You can't walk around. You must forgive them. Let them be in the God's hands. Do not avenge yourself, but you don't have to continue to have relationship with them or trust them if they are evildoers. You need to be careful with it. So what forgiveness is? Let's go to the bright side of our discussion. From what is not to what is forgiveness. In the Lord's prayers, forgive, it means to let go, to release, to send away, to forgive, to release person. Let's say together, to release. In the book of Leviticus, when it said declare freedom, this word means freedom or liberation, to declare freedom for people. Why it captured my attention? Because in the Septuagint, the same place, the same verse, when it said here liberty, in Septuagint it means forgiveness. Beautiful word. So they choose to use the word forgiveness. Declare forgiveness in the land of Israel. So what is obvious to me from these scriptures that the releasing is a very important part of forgiveness. Actually, this is the main part. To release person. So, and if to explain forgiveness in simple words, I know it's deep and it's long, but into simple words, I have two kind of parts of ideas of forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness is a full restoration of rights. Let's say together, forgiveness is a full restoration of rights. Restoration of relationships. This is the one part of forgiveness. Is granted to one who seeks forgiveness, brings sacrifice of restoration, who is ready to repent for his sin. And actually, if you read carefully Torah, in ancient Israel, conflict between to people was resolved by sacrifices offered in the temple. When the one who sinned against his neighbor came to the temple, confessed his sin to a priest, and was reconciled by the blood of a sacrifice and reparation for the sin. It was not easy process. If you sinned against somebody, you should take sacrifice, go to the temple, bring your sacrifice, pay back everything you need to pay, 20% more. It was good time. And only then you declare to be forgiven. Some people think that I will ask forgiveness, you know, secretly, only from the Lord. No. Restoration, it's sacrifice. The Lord himself restoring us and relationship with him only when we come to him with our repentance. This is a truth is related to the Lord and to his people. So, and I have the second question, but what about people who does not want and really have done evil to you but do not care about your forgiveness? What to do with these people? How to forgive them? Should they be restored with him? And it's my opinion, to forgive such person, I call this kind of forgiveness releasing the person who sinned against you. Let's say together, releasing the person. One more time. A person who sinned against you but does not want to reconcile, to change his thoughts and actions, who does not desire your forgiveness, does not care about you. Such a person we are simply to release from our hearts into our forgiveness, into Lord's hands. To release, to let go means to not desire revenge or wish evil upon an offender, but rather to pray for such a one that the Lord may have mercy on him. How? Bring him to repentance. Because sin needs to be confessed before the Lord. And then our own heart can experience freedom from unforgiveness, from bitterness. And this is very important to remember. Forgiveness takes away the power of the offenders over us. It gives us the opportunity to move forward without wasting our life on useless rage and revenge. We need forgiveness. Our hearts need forgiveness. Do you know, remember the prodigal son, story about prodigal son? It was not enough to admit sin before the Lord. Prodigal son needs to go to his father and ask to forgiveness in order to restore relationships with him. So a final, I have so many more, but I would like to come to an end here. A final scripture to conclude. This is the Romans chapter 12 from the verse 18. And I like it start from the verse 18. Let's say together, if possible. What does it mean, if possible? If possible. If somebody don't understand the next phrase. As far as it depends on you. If it's possible for you. As far. You can go as far as it depends on you. Live in shalom with all people. Never take your own revenge, loved ones, but give room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says Adonai. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And the verse 21, beautiful verse of scripture. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Release people. Forgive them. Give them freedom. Let the Lord deal with them. Don't take this bitterness inside of you. Don't live in bitterness. It can kill you. This is the inner prison for us. And I have great news for us. You can still experience jubilee in your own heart. And you know what? You don't need to wait for 50 years. You don't need to be 70 years old to forgive. Forgive today, because this is the year of jubilee today. Messiah has come. He's here. Today is freedom for you. Our Lord forgave us completely. He paid price for our forgiveness and poured the power of the Holy Spirit inside us so we can forgive others. Not by our power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Release people. And let's remember, when we forgive, we not only release others, but the most important, we release our hearts into God's freedom and His blessings. We need to forgive. This is for us. So I would like to stop here and I would like to pray. If you are here and you have bitter root in your heart, maybe you capture yourself in the wrong understanding of forgiveness. Maybe you torture yourself because you can't restore something in your relationships. Please think about my message today. Maybe you need to just release people around you. Do not pay back. Maybe you need to decide to forgive despite of your feelings. If you feel that you can't forgive, it doesn't matter what you feel. Matter what you decide. This is matter. And I know that the Lord is a great healer. He is a great doctor. He will bring healing into your heart. He will restore you. You will experience healing of your heart and emotions. Truly. 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 And how to love your enemies? The first of all, forgive them. Forgive them. Release them. Pray for them. And you will be healed. You will experience His healing and mercy in your life. I would like to pray, Lord, thank you for opportunity, Lord, to be in this place, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask, please forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. If we are holding somebody in our hearts, please help us to release people. Help us to set them free. Help us to bless people around us, even evil people, Lord, who did something wrong against us, Lord, we bless them, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, we release them, Lord. And this is our decision, Lord. Thank you for freedom in the Spirit, for healing of our souls. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you filled us with your Spirit of love, of power. Lord, we pray in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you, Lord, for your freedom and for your healing on this place, Lord, today, in your presence, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So let's conclude with the Aaronic benediction. Please not be alone. Find somebody. We have a great tradition. You know why we are holding each other?
We're close.
Okay. I have so many reasons. But the best reason to support each other. Yeah. To help each other. Yevrechecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha Vihunecha Issa Adonai Panavelecha Veyasem lecha Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Please take your children and please remember we have a nonic right now. You're welcome to come. Thank you.